Hey friends, okay, so we wrapped up yesterday on one of my favorite things to talk about. And I'm about to say one of my favorite things to talk about in this season of my life. I pray that I never lose the joy of talking about this. I'm going to summarize quickly what I was saying yesterday. We have been given relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, who didn't just die, but he rose again, and he's seated at the right hand, praying for us. He's advocating on our behalf. He's sending his Spirit in perfect jealousy to pursue us so that our hearts might look like the Father's. He gives us great grace, greater grace. And y'all know that song, My Sin is Great, but His Mercy is Greater. I think those are the words, but... And he's merciful enough to resist the proud and give grace to the humble. We recognize that in his mercy, he'll actually allow us to become scattered in our thoughts. Have you ever thought that maybe your anxiety and depression, while I do believe there are many sources of chronic anxiety and depression that we cannot understand, I do believe the majority of our issue with cognitive disorder has to do with our separation from God, from us separating ourselves because of our pride, because of our what we think is, or we believe self-sufficiency is enough. Read Psalm 117 about that, how that separates us from Him. But when we cry out to Him, it draws us back into His presence, and then He can give grace to the humble. It is currency in the kingdom of heaven for us to be humble and reverent, living in awe of His perfection, of His explicit, unadulterated love for us, of the fact that He weeps with us, or being in that state over the fact that He weeps for us, and that He is the lover of our soul. He is our best friend. This is Jesus, our Savior. This is God, our Father. This is the Holy Spirit, our perfect triune God who's working for us. And so there's that big therefore then. We have been given the great honor of living in the therefore. Verses 7 through 10 in chapter 4 of James, it says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Breathe that in. And then it goes on to say, cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Again, this is just like in yesterday's episode where he's calling us adulterous. I don't think it's him saying, like throwing out these insults, trying to see how bad he can hurt our feelings. He is saying to us, this is who we are. We're wretched. We're adulterous in our nature. We're double-minded in all of our ways, unstable in all of our ways. But if we resist the devil, if we draw near to God, then this will bring us into the place where it goes on to say, be miserable and mourn and weep. That brings us into grief over our sin. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. That right there has got to be enough. Okay, so let's break that down a little bit. He's saying that your movement towards God and away from the devil will place you back under God's protection. Anytime that we move closer to Him, we are safe. We are placed in a position of freedom in that and spacious place and utter dependence on Him. Now, of course, I want to clarify, every time we say something like that, don't misunderstand that things can still happen in relationship with God. You can still get cancer. You can still go lose your job. You can still have someone close to you die. There's natural processes that are consistently happening. It's made that way by His design. And so we can't say that then all of a sudden His design is going to stop just because we're in relationship. Now, if it be His choice to heal or to stop a death or whatever, then so be it. But we can't live always as though we understand how to manipulate God with our faith and our belief in Him. We just have to understand that living under His protection may very well include death. It may very well include cancer. It may include some scenario that brings you to a place where you get to minister to someone else, where if you had not had the cancer, or if you had not lost the job, or someone had died, that you wouldn't be able to minister to them. And so we have to see that call to perseverance coming through right here. And he's saying, persevere in my name so that you might be mature and complete, lacking nothing, so that you might have a wisdom beyond what you could have had otherwise. That's what he's saying. He's telling us to be broken over our sin, to be humbly weeping before God over what has separated us from him, and be in awe and surrender to his grace that is greater than all our sin. Y'all know that good old song, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. That's grace, God's grace, greater than all our sin. Boy, that just makes me want to go to bed singing that song, because there's where all the freedom is. James is reminding us of this. He's also given us a pretty simple checklist. And if we're willing to follow, we will be exalted in relationship with Jesus and man. That means you will receive his perfect forgiveness and you will experience reconciliation with God's people. Let's remember who James is talking to. He's talking to the Messianic Jew congregation. These are the converted Christians, and they're struggling they're not only struggling, if you remember to the very first episode where we were given some backup there, they were struggling from within and from without. They were having some oppression from fellow landowners, but there was a lot of oppression coming from within. And so he's saying to the people here, once you fall into good relationship with Jesus Christ and you're walking in that, putting away, cleansing your hand, purifying your heart, weeping over your sins, then of course your relationship with Christ is going to grow. But then your relationship with the congregation is going to grow. And I think sometimes that means that those who are not willing to fall into submission to God will go away. I believe they'll leave when they experience the light of that, and you live in that light and your refusal to fight and wage war, and you have that refusal to give in to that sin, people will sometimes leave. But we pray that people will always fall into the glory, into his glory, into the light of his glory and grace, and become reconciled with you. And so that's a beautiful process right there. Okay, so there's a couple of points that I want to cram in here at the end to make sure, and that we clarify. I want to make sure that we understand that James is not being flippant about the power of the devil when he just says in that one little sentence, flee from him and he will flee from you. It's not that simple. We have to remember that Satan is a supernatural being. He moves and works with evil force that is beyond our understanding. He is supernatural, so he does have power beyond our comprehension. And he oftentimes, honestly, it's not just out of our comprehension, it's out of our concern. We sort of dismiss Satan as not that big of a deal when he is very much so a big deal. But what James is saying to us is that Satan is real, and he's working to tear you from God's presence. However, don't forget that Satan is limited in his power. So when you resist him by returning to God, moving into the almighty presence of the great I am, Satan has to flee. And so he's just trying to remind you that while this is a big force that's going against you, it's a simple movement back towards God. Also, it may seem that James has contradicted himself by asking you to consider it pure joy there in chapter 1. And then he's also saying, turn your laughing to weeping. So let's clarify. He's telling you that enjoying our sin is to move from the protection of God. If we're talking about two different buckets here of emotion. He is telling us that when you're considering, or actually, I'm gonna move first into the part about weeping. He wants you to weep over your sin. He's saying, understand that what your sin is doing is grieving your God, your Father, your Savior, the lover of your soul, your best friend, the one who envies and pursues you in perfect jealousy, who envies after your soul. You have grieved the Spirit of the Triune God. And so he's saying, weep over that. And in that weeping, you become humble. And it's in that humility that then you can consider every other trial It's not necessarily based on your sin. This is just the trials of this life. You can consider those pure joy. It's kind of a weird thought, but it enables you when you're living in the forgiveness of the great I Am, in the presence, in awe, and in all of that realm, then you have to change. You can't help but want to give God more of you. You can't help but fall down before His throne and say, "Thank you for this white robe. Now tell me what I've got to do to get any of this darkness off that I still foster in my life." So purify our hearts. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, O Lord, but restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. Your salvation, God, not my idea of being my best me, not my idea of what war and what cynical spirit I am supposed to fight for. No, it's all about You, my great God, and in that I experience pure joy. Oh, that's been good. What a good week it's been. I'm looking forward to next week, chapter 8, so y'all get ready to rejoice in God's word with me here on A Heart Refined. Talk to you soon.